Today, from the Gospel of Matthew, we hear a little bit more about this beginning of the mission and the ministry of Jesus. Jesus walks along the shore and he calls his first disciples. Oh, what a wonderful story it is. He calls to them, and as the Gospel writer says, immediately they left what they were doing and they followed him. Oh, we would praise them for that. Give them an applause. Yay, you follow Jesus. I'm going to ask you a question. If you were working in the yard, raking leaves or shoveling snow, God forbid, but, you know, doing whatever it is that we need to be doing at any given moment in time, and you had this guy walking down the sidewalk or along the road, and he called out to you, "Peter, follow me. Sue, follow me. Brian, follow me." Would you drop what you were doing, leave everything behind, and go? More than likely, not. I know I'd have an awful hard time at that. Because, you know, we have lots of responsibilities, don't we? We've got family and friends. We've got a house to take care of. We have work. We have a job. We have all the kinds of promises that we've made. And Jesus is calling out to these people. And as the gospel writer said, in the way that it's in the original language, the placement of the words means to emphasize this notion of immediately. Now, you had Simon and his brother Andrew. We've heard about them already from another take on things from the Gospel of John. But in Matthew's Gospel, there they are. They're doing their work. They're casting their nets. And maybe they were tired of being fishermen. You know, fishermen were important people in the time of Jesus, because that's where most of the people who lived in Palestine, that's where they got their protein, was from fish. And so it was a good job to have. It was sort of an entrepreneurial thing, but and you were dependent on your harvest of fish, of course, but the reality was they needed the fish, so there was always a market for it, and so as long as people had some money to buy, that's the thing that they would buy. Just about everything else you could make at home, and most people did, but the fish, that's a little different story. And so it was a fairly good living, as things go, in terms of working class, middle class kinds of ideas that we have, that they were engaged in, and it says that they dropped their nets and they followed him. Now, later on in the gospel, we hear how they were out fishing again, so I don't know how complete that was, but at that moment, there they were, and they did that. Now, we also hear about James and John. In another part of the gospel, they are named, and they have a word applied to them, Boargenes. They were sons of thunder. You almost see them as the kind of young men who probably wore leather jackets, and they had colors, as they say, and they were emblazoned on the back, sons of thunder. And so it's no wonder that they were working with their father, Zebedee, in the boats, mending nets. Oh, that's exciting work. And so Jesus calls out to them, and maybe they were really keen on that. Finally, somebody is going to break this connection we have with this family business, and they urgently left because they couldn't wait to leave that two-bit little village and that sort of way of life. So maybe they had a little different attitude, but nonetheless, they did that. And again, the gospel writer says, immediately. I'd ask you to be a bit sympathetic to Zebedee for a moment. Here he's got the family business, taking care of things, and all of a sudden, his two main workers, his sons, James and John, up and leave him. How would you feel at that moment? Get back here! Where are you going? You got work to do. Who is that guy anyway? Most of us, if we heard that call, we want to make sure that they had a full background check, that somehow we were able to look at their degrees, his degree on the wall, did he have the legitimate claim to be able to call out and tell people to follow him? Where was he ordained, after all? You know, and does he have all of the right qualifications to make these demands on people? None of that is part of the story at all. The gospel writer is simply saying, They heard their names. They saw the person of Jesus. And immediately, they followed. I think, in part, this is to give us a little bit of an inkling as to what discipleship is about and how it begins. That in fact there is a genuine cost to our discipleship. It requires us to change. Now, most of us change, sometimes we eagerly look forward to it. Now, how many of you have kept your New Year's resolutions? Show of hands. I don't see any hands going up, including mine. Well, if you didn't make them, that's one thing. But some of us have given up on that idea altogether. But more often than not, we always use those occasions to somehow say, life should be a little bit different, and I will try to do better. I will, you know, it's part of our life. And yet, we often drift back into old patterns. Change is hard. It demands our attention. It demands our focus. Above all, it demands our commitment. That's what Jesus was saying to them. Follow me, change your life. Follow me. Follow the way I set out before you. Your life will be different. Follow me. And maybe at first it seemed attractive. Maybe to the sons of thunder it was very attractive. And then even they wearied of it a bit, perhaps, along the way. We all know the story. You know, we'll soon be in Lent and back into Holy Week and hear the story of how they all sort of left in the end, except for a couple. Now, change is hard. Change is difficult. But change is absolutely necessary if we would prove ourselves worthy disciples of Jesus. For the way of Jesus is ultimately the way of the cross. That's what Paul is talking about when he talks about the glory of the cross. He says it's foolishness to the world. You know, again, if Jesus called out to you and you were doing whatever you were doing in the course of your daily life, it would be foolish for you to leave your home and hearth and your family and friends and follow this peripatetic preacher down the road without any plan, without any idea of where he was taking you, with any idea of what all of this is going to be like. Most of us have our lives planned out pretty well. Even if the plans don't work out, at least we're making plans. We like to have a sense of security about our future. But no, they left immediately. Maybe that's precipitous. Maybe it's not smart. But that's the foolishness of following Jesus. Following the way of Jesus is not a smart way of living in our world. In fact, it is foolishness to the wise in our ways of the world. Yet, it is the life to which we are called. Jesus calls your name. When you were baptized, your name was used. You were sealed with chrism, with the mark of the Holy Spirit, being marked out for Christ. You, at least furtively, answered the call to discipleship. But what is it costing you? What are you willing to leave behind? What are you willing to let go of? Each one of us has it. Maybe it's not a career as a fisherman, or the family business, or whatever it might be in the gospel lesson, but to us today, each one of us, we can reflect for a moment and find something that we want to hold on to so much that if Jesus asked us to let that go and follow him, we would not respond. And yet, that is the cost of discipleship. Because sometimes it isn't anything in this world. Sometimes it's our very life. Thanks be to God, very few of us are ever really called to give up our life for the sake of the gospel, in the sense of the great martyrs of the church. But in point of fact, we are daily asked to give up something, to become less and less encumbered by the things of this world, by the values of this world, so that we become more and more like Christ each and every day, to the point where perhaps someday, someplace, we might be called upon in an extraordinary way to give up our very lives. If we're not able to give up that one thing in our life in this day that we think and reflect upon, how can we even say that we would be willing to die for Christ? And yet, that is what these disciples are called to. They don't know it yet. They have absolutely no idea what they're getting into. But that is, in fact, the life to which they are called. A life where they let go of all the encumbrances of this world, all of its values and all of its things, to live a life guided solely by the values of the kingdom of God. That's the life to which we are called. That is the life of a true disciple of Christ. And my friends, it has its cost. Whether we are willing to pay that cost makes all the difference. And so I'll ask you this day, what is it that Jesus will ask you to leave in the days ahead? What changes will God ask you to make where suddenly we begin to make the calculus whether it's worth it or not? Those are the things that are in today's gospel lesson. Those are the fish, the nets, the boats. We all have them. Will we heed his call? When we hear our name and those words, "Follow me," will we be willing to go? How we answer that will make all the difference.